Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Crimson Peak. Crimson Peak is a 2015 gothic romance film directed by Guillermo del Toro. Set in 1887, the story follows Edith Cushing, who becomes enamored by mysterious stranger Thomas Sharp, eventually marrying him and coming to live with him and his sister, Lady Lucille Sharp, at a gothic mansion in the English hills. A house that breathes, bleeds, and remembers.
That's a great phrase.
Very accurate of what the house looks like. Production design. Fuck.
Yeah.
It kills me. It's so good. It's it's one of the most beautiful films I've seen since The Shape of Water.
Yeah. It says a lot, hey?
Yeah. Del Toro's a beast.
He loves movies, and you can tell he loves movies just by looking at even like Hellboy, like you can look at a still frame of a movie that he has made.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, fuck, cunt loves it.
Yeah, he does. You could frame any still from any of his films, probably, and they're just gorgeous.
Delightful.
How did this not win an Oscar for that? Production design, cinematography, costumes.
Considering that a film that we've also recently watched did win an Oscar for those things, and that movie was, look, white dog shit.
So it's not even brown dog.
No, it's like that white. It's been out in the sun for ages. It's like that powdery white dog shit. Awesome. The same color as the hair on Dracula's head in that fucking movie. But no, this this isn't a popular movie. Like, apparently it didn't do super well. People didn't love it. Going into it, I was kind of like, it'll be fine. It might be a bit spooky. Mm. Was spooky, but also a damn good movie and just brilliantly put together. And I don't understand why people fucking hated it.
Well, it came out in October and they pushed it as, like a Halloween, a really spooky horror movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I guess as what we saw happen with Dr. Sleep, horror fans maybe were just like, oh, it's not even fucking scary.
Mm.
But what do you want? Like,
what the fuck? What do you want?
From, what do you want from horror films?
Yeah,
this is a legitimately good story, which sets up very early on that it's just a story that has ghosts in it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I think this movie absolutely nails it. I gave it 4.5. I would have given it 5 if it had like a bit more of the heart that I wanted.
Yep.
But other than that, it's nearly perfect.
Oh, it's again. I think, Sean, that's a great question to horror fans. Like, what the fuck do you want?
Yeah.
Do you want shitty jump scare shit movies that are terrible and then you complain that, oh, this movie's poor? Like, okay, what, you want Hereditary and Midsommar? You can't get them all the time.
Mm.
Also, I would argue that Midsommar has the same level of, like, scares that Crimson Peak does. Like, they're beautifully shot films with just dread and tension.
Right.
I think, get over yourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my call.
Well, yeah, I mean, this film... This was, again, this is like Dr. Sleep. This film hit a lot of things that I really love to see in a movie.
Yeah.
In that it was as much mystery as horror. And the mystery was so well done. Like, there are so many things set up as just as beautiful iconography or this funny little thing someone said to someone or just general story beats. And then it comes back round in this reveal, in this payoff that just works so well so many times to the point that I was realizing well after we'd finished watching it. Oh, and there was that little connection that, you know, I didn't get. It was very tightly scripted, very tightly structured. I just thought it was an incredibly well-told story that also happened to have a few ghosts in there.
Yep.
That's it. And look, full credit, the ghosts, when they appear, fucking awful.
Oh, yeah.
Hated them.
Didn't like it.
No. Hated them heaps. That sequence where that one appears when Mia's wandering through the, you know,
right. Yeah,
the
yeah.
halls of the manor. Was it Allen Dale Hall or whatever it is? The
yeah, Allen Dale.
Crimson Peak it. House.
Yep. yeah, yeah.
And she's looking in that room and there's that split second flash of a horrifically grotesque face. Just about my chest caved in.
Yeah. Yes.
Like I nearly looked like that face.
Right.
He does like that sort of body horror stuff well, but in a way that's too realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he doesn't. Yeah. You watch. I guess I'm just used to watching action films where everything's very heightened.
And yeah. It's
supposed to be cool, I guess. But Del Toro does it. And we talked about it. He does it the same thing in Pan's Labyrinth,
mm-hmm.
where it's fucking horrifying to look at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when the dad gets his face caved in, basically.
Right.
Ah, no good. Yeah. One hit, when his head hit the sink once, I was like, oh, that's too much for
that's
me.
Rough.
And then more.
The violence in this film, I think, has weight to it. It doesn't feel ridiculous or like, because some horror violence is like, oh, it's like horror violence. Like even in like some slashes, it's like, oh yeah, that's, but like, okay. The violence in this has a weight to it. And I think there's a perfect example when old mate gets stabbed in the face.
Yes.
And he has to work to get the knife out because it's gone in so deep. And it's like, that is bad.
Yeah.
That is not a good thing to watch.
Right.
I don't like that. But for some reason, I enjoyed this film.
Well, even like for that one, like his eye's a little bit bloodshot as soon as the knife goes in because there's already blood leaking to his eye. Same for when the dad's head gets caved in. Like we see it. I think it works because it's not just like gore over the top and there's that distance of, oh, this is obviously fake.
Yeah.
It looks so real. You're like, fuck, if someone got their head bashed in, I bet that's what it looks like. And you can see that it's slightly caved in.
Yeah.
And I think it's the kind of thing where that real world horror stays with you more than the ghosts do. But I think that's really effective because that's after watching Pan's Labyrinth years ago. I don't even remember much about the plot, but the thing I remember is when someone gets bottled or whatever with their head caved in.
Yep.
That stuck with me because that terrified me more than any of the rest of the creatures.
Yeah, definitely. And I think on that as well, what frightened me probably more than the ghosts in this was Jessica Chastain.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Everyone in this movie is bringing their A game. Granted, Charlie Hunnam's A game is like D game, but he's bringing it.
Yeah,
he's bringing his best. He's doing his damn.
He does what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what that is yet, but hey,
still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Keep making movies, Charlie, and maybe we'll get there.
Yeah,
maybe he'll have a Keanu like renaissance late in his career where he just plays like silent killers, and it'll be
work
perfect.
For him. Yeah,
let's not stretch him too.
That's
far.
No, that's not pushing too far. But now look, everyone's bringing their A game. But Jessica Chastain and Mia Wasowska. Mm-hmm. Fuck, I've completely butchered this.
That's right. I think I would too. I think I would have gone Wasikowska.
That's it. That's
no, I don't think that's it.
I don't think so. I fused.
Yeah, let's call her Mia. She's terrific.
Mia Wa.
Mia Wa.
But Australia's sweetheart Mia.
Yeah. One of our best.
Their working off one another is so good. And there's so many fucking chilling sequences with the two of them just alone together. And you get that. There's that great conversation they have, which I think pays off beautifully when you get to the credits are rolling and you start thinking about it when they're talking about the butterflies together.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, these butterflies are beautiful, but they only live for so long, fleeting little moments, and we only have these black moths at our house. And she's like, oh, what do they eat? And she's like, oh, butterflies, I'm afraid.
Mm.
And then you go to the house, it is full of black moths, but the black moth is Goth Chastain.
Yes.
Who has killed every butterfly that has ever come into that house.
Mm-hmm. Fuck, it's so good.
Ah, she's almost too good for this.
She's chilling at times, yeah. You have an inflict through Letterboxd just before we're watching this. What was that one review you found?
Oh, someone gave it a 5-star review and just said, Goth Jessica Chastain could stab me in the chest. And I agree.
Yeah.
She could take a cleaver to my head. And I'll be like, you know what? There are worse ways to go. There are worse ways to go. She's fucking powerful. And we were reading the trivia afterwards that you were saying, or Sean, you were saying that originally she was off the role of Edith, the wife. And then she read the script, contacted Del Toro and said, no, I want to play the sister.
She thought it'd be a more challenging role for her. And I respect that.
Yeah. I think me is perfect. I think that the casting in this is perfect in that those three core trio
yeah.
are perfectly weighted of what they're supposed to be. Hiddleston's, you know, doing what he does with his smug, charming manner.
Yeah. Perennial dickhead. Even he's okay in it, yeah. To be honest.
You hate him, eh?
I do not like the man. not for any, like, real legitimate reason either. Just because I've, like, seen him on the talk show circuit and he just seems like a bit of a fuckhead.
But, yeah, I think the strength of this movie lies in, you were saying, Damo, the mystery of it. Like, I love that whole gothic era of, like, you marry into this mysterious person and there's a mystery in this house and maybe there's something weird going on and maybe it's ghosts, and they kind of, the whole movie's playing out and you're like, oh, something supernatural's going on here.
Yeah.
And then the final result is worse.
Yes.
So much scarier than any ghost ever could be.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's where this movie absolutely rules. So horror fans, people are like, oh, we'll do not enough ghosts. Shut up. I'm going to sick goth Chastain on you.
Oh, fuck. Then they'll be happy.
They will be happy.
They would be actually
stab
happy.
Stab me in
that.
The chest.
Well, then were we scared?
Not in the way that I have been with some stuff we've watched, but, like, yeah, the ghost's unpleasant.
Yeah.
A few jumps. But even just, like, there's that scene where Chastain's giving her tea, I think, and she's just scraping the teaspoon across the cup.
Yeah.
And it just tingles down your spine.
And it really holds, like, she does it, like, 3 times, I think.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop being terrifying. If anything, it just grows.
Yeah.
And, like, that's another thing I loved about her character and found so terrifying, is there is this silent game going on between the two of them where they're both trying to figure out what the other knows, how far in there they are. And Chastain is just awful. Like, she's so good at sort of putting Mia in a corner where she needs to reveal something. Like, she's very good at what she does and she's very terrifying. But for me, easily the biggest scare was the one you mentioned before, when Mia's going down the hallway. She's heard a noise or seen something. And there's a door with the door handles constantly rattling. And she goes to open it, turns because there's something behind her, turns back, and there's this screaming red-faced ghost. And that was, I've had a few moments like these where literally my body reacts in a way that I get an immediate, like, flush of pins and needles all over me.
Yeah.
And it's only happened a couple of times. Obviously, I've got no control over it, but that was one of those where I was just like, oh, shit, okay. So that, for me, I was scared. And, like, the ghosts, it was interesting. We talked about this earlier where, like, because it's the visual effect of a ghost, it somewhat has a lesser effect, where not long ago we watched Woman in Black, where that was really scary because it just looked like...
It's just a woman.
A woman, yeah. But then you've got, is it Doug Jones?
Yeah.
So Doug Jones, who's been a lot of Guillermo's movies, often plays the monster because he's a very tall, thin man. And he's very good at just having these movements that are so unnatural and upsetting that even though, it's like this ghost is even a bit see-through or whatever, you're like, nah, he's got me. I'm creeped out by that.
Yeah, he's very creepy in probably everything he's done for Del Toro. I've never seen, I mean, what? So he's... He's about 5 characters in Pan's Labyrinth.
Mm.
He's like...
All of the worst ones.
All of the worst ones. He's Abe Sapien in the 2 Hellboys, and I'm pretty sure he's the fish man in Shape of Water. He just has great body. And even though he's animated in this, in that they've obviously used him as the skeleton, I guess.
Right,
to animate the skeleton on top of. But just, the jerky movements. That fucking... I was terrified any time the ghost showed up because... Even though I got to a point in my mind where I'm like, I think they're benevolent.
Right.
Didn't fucking matter. That scene where that you have that jump scare of the door and then literally the next second it crawls out of the floor and chases her down the corridor. Is awful. And then you have the scene where it's lying in the bathtub and it's like just, there are so many just awful, awful ghost scenes. So you're scared of that. But then the real horror and the real dread is that there's just tension.
Mm.
The minute she steps foot in that house, the tension, like... Because early on, you're watching it, you're like, oh, what are they hiding? The minute she walks into the Crimson Peak house, the house is gory and gross.
Yeah.
And then the tension of the cat and mouse game being played between Lucille and Edith is so stressful. There's so many scenes where you just want to cut your face off just from sheer, like, I can't handle this.
Because that'll save you.
Yeah, that'll save you. Because she won't kill you then.
Yeah. It even did that thing where initially, like, it wasn't sustained tension for the whole runtime.
Right.
You had, whenever it was daylight in the early stages, I'm like, okay, I feel a little safe now. I feel okay. Mm. But then when it became dark in the house, something always happened.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even bad things were happening in the daylight, I suppose. Like, the dad got killed in the morning.
That's very true. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, we weren't safe. There was also that shocking shot where they roll the tennis ball back in. Stuff like that is just yuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was well done.
And even the reverse. So, when the tennis ball rolls down the hall and then the camera pans up. And normally what some horror movies would do is they'd be like, there's nothing in the corridor. Oh. This panned up and you just saw whatever it was, like, judder back behind the door. And so we saw it, she saw it, and it's like, no. What the fuck? Why?
But it didn't even roll back because we thought, oh, I think you said, Tom, oh, that tennis ball is going to come back.
Yeah.
And it didn't roll back when we thought.
Right.
The scene sort of played out a little bit longer and then you sort of like to have a bit of a sigh and breathe again and then the ball rolled back in. You're like, you motherfucker.
Yeah. And then on the house... So the house was definitely a scary house. Like the hallway where the ghost pops out of the cupboard, that had all those like frames, that sort of architecture. And it was the way it was layered on itself for some reason. I don't know if it made me think of like maybe like rib cage or something. Like there was something about it that I didn't like. But then a lot of the rest of the house, even though like when it was bleeding that red oozing clay that looked fantastic, but I almost think it was so beautiful, even in its gothic horror nature, that actually stripped some of the fear because I was just impressed.
Yeah.
You've got the leaves falling through the hole in the roof all the whole movie, the whole way through.
Beautiful.
It's just stunning.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous.
And the sound design of the house was great as well, the creaking, squelching noises. Yeah. But then just whenever you go in the upper floors and there's all the moths,
yeah,
and there's that constant like papery, rustling noise. Like,
yeah.
The design of this movie alone should make people enjoy it. But the fact that there's like, I don't know, it's kind of got mixed reviews.
Mm.
But I don't know how you can, even if you didn't enjoy the movie, still not be like, fuck, it looks good though.
Yeah.
Like the design for so many facets of it is incredible.
I reckon the trailer would have had a big thing to do with that as well. Because if you watch the trailer, it really makes it, they're selling you a horror film.
Right.
Yeah, a really frightening horror film. Well, and it's not.
That's what I thought we were getting in for when I picked this. Because I watched the trailer and was like, fuck, we're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just think half the time it's like studios need to get fucked.
Right.
Market your film properly.
Yeah. Sell it for what it is. Yeah. A really well-told gothic horror story. Yeah. And like, I honestly think for like scaredy boys like us and scaredy boys and girls listeners that are out there, this is such a great movie for them to watch because you will get some scares.
Yeah.
But you also have a really good time because the story is so well done and the layering of this story and its elements are so well done. You walk away very satisfied.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah.
This is easily the best set design I've ever seen in a film.
Oh, yeah. Because even the exterior of the house, when there's one scene where she walks out into this like blizzard, and the blinding white of this blizzard is so... It's so well done in that you honestly are feeling what she's feeling and where you're so trapped. And then later on, so it's called Crimson Peak because during the winter when the snow lands and the clay merges with it, it just looks like this blood in the snow. It is just stunning all the way through.
Mm. That beat in the movie too, like lightning rod down your spine when they're talking just offhandedly and Thomas Sharp says... Oh, you know, that's why the locals call it Crimson Peak. And she's making tea or something. And there's just this, she knocks the glass and there's just this high-pitched ring that just lasts for like the full 30 seconds of her turning around and being like, what did you just say? Like,
right.
And at that point, you're stumped. Like, of course, I mean, look, we know it's called Crimson Peak because it's the name of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like, obviously, she gets the warning about it at the start. Like, we know how narratives work.
Sure.
But even that reveal is just like, oh, she fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
She's stuck here now.
Yeah. Well, on that, so did she act wisely or did she act foolishly?
I think with the circumstances presented to her,
yeah,
she acts pretty wisely. She starts working to uncover the mystery.
Yeah.
I think some of her faith in Thomas is a little misguided, but then it ends up being rewarded because he genuinely does care for her and actually is like, maybe I don't want to kill this one.
I think she loves him too, I think.
Yeah.
So she's very clouded by that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I liked about this is that the early scenes with Mia when she's still in America, she's such an independent character. She's not impressed with him to begin with. She has some great one-liners that she throws back in his face.
Yeah.
We love her as well almost instantly because she's a great character. Mia's delivering it like a fucking champ.
Mm.
And so I love her. She's independent. So when she falls for him, you know, it's because she's actually fallen for him. She doesn't need a guy. She's not some damsel in distress.
Yeah.
She's genuinely fallen in love with this guy and wants to have a happy life with him.
Mm.
And then we learn throughout the movie, yeah, sure enough, he actually does love her too. There's this great bit right at the climax. So again, spoilers, where basically she's learned everything she needs to learn and he's confronting him with it. And apparently there was this great bit of dialogue where it was really long and he was sort of gave this eloquent speech about why he did everything that he did. And then on the day, Del Toro and Hiddleston actually thought, no, this is too long. We need to break it down. And pretty much breaks down to, you lied to me. And he says, I did. Then she says, you poisoned me. He says, I did. And then she says, you said you loved me. And he says, I do. And I love it because he's like, I'm going to give you 100% truth.
Yep.
And so you lead in with these two horrible facts that he admits to. And then you said you loved me, I do. So he really did.
Yep.
He really did love her. So that's where you're like, how foolish could she have been if she loved him and he did love her? There was just this awful history that she was unaware of. You're like, you almost want them to make it. Like, even though he's done some horrible, terrible things.
Yeah.
They've gotten to a point where they both love each other. And like, even there's a scene where the scene where basically Chastain goes well over the edge because she knows she's going to lose him because they have this codependent brother-sister relationship.
Wow. Is it codependent or is it incest for the win?
Look, there's a sprinkling. Well, not even a sprinkling. No. Fuck, there's a big...
straight up a handful.
Yeah,
a handful.
A big handful
of incest. It's like, what's interesting is that dynamic became way more interesting the minute I think Charlie Hunnam's character shows up and reveals that she's like older than him.
Yeah.
I for some reason in my head, I was just like, oh, he's older.
Right.
And she talks about how they grew up together and she protected him. But by that stage, you've learnt that she's like 2 or 3 years older than him and a lot like more canny and cunning and nuts. And so he's kind of, you feel bad for him at that point because you're like, oh, you had no choice. Like,
yeah,
it's fucked and you've done some awful things and you're a bad man, but I understand why you've done those things. And you've also started to redeem yourself because you've realized you can no longer do those things to these people. There's those two great bits where she's like, why did you pick her? And he just doesn't say anything.
Mm.
Like, just the silence. And then later on when the poisoning's been going on and he's had a change of heart and decided he can't poison her anymore.
Yeah.
And he tells her to, you know, just takes... doesn't... he assumes that she knows something's up, but at this point she hasn't explicitly confronted him. And he just takes the tea away and goes, don't drink that again, ever.
Yes, ever. Yeah.
And then the next scene, you see the look on his face when Chastain's like, oh, I've been putting it in the porridge.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. And this is where Chastain is so good because, yeah, she really is just a master manipulator and puppeteer in this film. And I also really like you were saying, for this his character, you actually start to understand really well where because he presents so seedy and you're like, oh, fuck you.
They trick you. They want you to think it's him.
Yes, exactly right. And then once you learn the history, basically, yeah, with him being the little brother, that makes such a huge difference because basically, well, she's the one who's in charge when they were kids. They had these horrible parents. Yep. She chose to kill their mother with a cleaver in the head. And now they're in it. Like, she even has a line later on, what do you think they'll do to us? You know, you'll be hung. I'll be sent to an insane asylum.
Yeah.
And so from that point, from that childhood point, she's made the decision. Now he has to live with the consequences with it. So all they've got is each other at that point because they have to hide this secret. Obviously, it builds as they go because they want more money, get more marriages, kill more women. And you can kind of see that he's just spiraled and down into this trap until he's actually met someone he loves.
He likes, yeah.
And, oh, fuck, I can't. And then, oh, the final scene when Mia and Chastain are out there fighting in the snow.
That is an incredible fight sequence. And then it is two women in, like, corsets and bodices chasing one another around. One is armed with a cleaver and the other is armed with a shovel. What a fight. I mean,
it's quite a long knife fight that starts in the house and then like leads outside and is done really, really well. But then she says, look behind you. And we think we're going to see Hanan again. We think, okay, he's gotten out. He's not dead. Turns around and sees the ghost of Hiddleston. And it is near perfection as far as I'm concerned.
Mm. Yep.
And again, you realize in that moment that, yeah, he does love her. And then even Chastain's character saying, you're either going to have to kill me or I will kill you. Like, she says it twice, I think.
Yeah.
That's some powerful fucking stuff.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. Like, even, like, the complicated nature of all of the characters in this, I think, just enhances the story. Because there's that bit right at the end when, rather than just being like, we need to get out of here, Hiddleston still goes back to try to convince Chastain to stop.
Yes.
Yeah. And he almost does.
Yeah.
Because she does care for him.
Like, yeah, but then he fucks up.
Then he fucks up because he says, all of us. And she's like, oh, nah.
What a dumb boy.
I know. And then that slow stab in the face.
It's yuck.
It's yuck. Fuck, there's so many good... Like, I just remember the witch. The ghost witch monster thing. The ghost being like, his blood will be on your hands. And then literally at the end of the movie, his blood is on her hands. Yep. That's good.
This movie gives you everything you need, even at the start when it describes Hiddleston's characters. He doesn't have a worker's hands. He's got the softest hands.
Yeah.
So he's never got his hands dirty.
Yep.
So it's clearly going to be the sister, but we don't know that.
Nah.
Right, but it's there.
Yeah.
It's always there. When you look back, everything has been perfectly layered in.
Yeah.
Really very impressive.
It's that line that Mia has at the start that she'd rather be a widow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she is.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
She'd rather be Mary Shelley, who ended as a widow.
Yeah, that's right, as a widow.
I think I read that Del Toro did like 11 or 12 drafts of the script, and you can fucking tell because it's just perfect.
It's very well done.
Yeah.
There's not a loose thread. Even like Charlie Hunnam's character, they drop in that he sees himself as an amateur detective. So when she does kind of fall off the map and things get a bit weird, naturally he's going to investigate and come to the conclusion that he comes to.
Yes. It's great. Everything's there. Like, all character motivations are very clearly defined. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah. And look, to bring it back to the question, I think Edith does act very wisely because the minute she suspects something, she starts digging.
Yes.
She realizes she can't confide in Chastain at all.
Yeah.
She tries to sort of confide in Thomas I think there's a point where she then again acts in the appropriate manner because she confides in Thomas thinking he'll help her.
Yeah.
And then she walks in on the two of them and she realizes, oh no, it's fucked.
He's so under her sway.
He's in love with her. They're doing sex.
I just love that her character is writing a novel and the publisher guy's reading it and is like, it's a horror. Makes some comments like that. And she goes, oh, no, it's not a horror. It just happens to have ghosts in it. And they tell you what the film is.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the studio still fucked up the marketing.
But
it bothers me. This is like one of Del Toro's best films.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably enjoyed this. Oh, it's as good as Shape of Water, which isn't won awards. Like, I think Shape of Water, the marketing was a bit better. Like,
right.
It was more in line of it's a fably fairy sci-fi story. Whereas this year, it's such a lush, beautiful film.
Mm.
I mean, they built the house from scratch, right?
That's right.
Like, that's fucked.
They built the whole house and then they had to tear it down at the end, which breaks my heart.
That would almost never happen.
No.
So that imagine the freedom that gives them to shoot any like whatever angle they want.
Yeah.
But imagine the detail then.
Yes.
Because you look at every frame is so detailed and they've done that. You can be sure they would have done that for the entire house.
Mm.
It's crazy.
It really is. All right, boys. How would we do in this situation?
Dead. Poisoned. So I love porridge.
You're a porridge boy. Chastain knows your one weakness. Porridge.
Got me.
Sam, my problem is I'd be like, you don't have to poison me. Just stab me in the chest. I'm with that reviewer.
I'll be your beautiful little butterfly, Chastain.
Mate, you can put me in a cage. I think this is saying a lot about me. Maybe we should move on.
All right, let's give the definition of the boundaries for this set up. So, look, I don't think that he could marry all three of us because that's just never been approved upon. So maybe the three of us are just visiting. We're staying there for the winter or something like that. And again, they're setting up because they want to kill us for monies or something. I don't know. Either way, we're all just trapped in this house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if it's a not unlike Dracula? We're just three blokes who are really into Mia and we wished that we were the husband.
Oh, yeah,
so we're just three visiting friends. Yeah, we're three Charlies.
Three Charlies. Okay.
I think we'd be able to solve the mystery.
Mm.
So I think I think we're pretty cluey. We'd also, and actually, boys, I think we'd be fucked because we'd see ghosts. And again, our sometimes strength is now our weakness. We would assume ghosts are the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd be completely blindsided by the fact that it's incest.
That's true.
Yeah. when we see Tommy getting a HJ, we'll be like, well, that's new.
How are the ghosts doing this?
Are the ghosts giving him a HJ?
Rock, paper, scissors, incest beats ghost.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I don't know what beats. Is it knife through face beats incest? Is that the...
It has to be. Yeah.
Knife through face, yeah. Incest, ghosts. Ghosts beat knife through face because you can't stab them.
Mm. Yeah. Look, it's just a fun little game.
True love beats incest in this film.
Wow. Imagine you're GDT and you sit down to pitch this movie to a studio and they're like, so what's the theme? And you're just like, true love beats incest. And they're like, going to need to change the marketing. No, I can see where they've changed the marketing.
Yeah, we're going to focus on the ghosts.
True love beating incest is a hard fucking sell.
So for us, I don't know how well we'll do. I think a lot of us would be like, Jesus, house rocks. Mm. Oh, yeah. My God. We'll just be like too focused on the beauty of this house.
Yeah. And then we get stuck on the ghosts, thinking the ghosts were the problem. We wouldn't be like Mia being like, no, the ghosts have always helped me. We'd be like, ghosts? No way. Not in my house.
Yeah. So like Chastain, if we said, she's quite good at staying a couple of steps ahead. I can't see us getting ahead of her.
So ever. We try and run. We try and leave, but we're stuck because we're snowed in.
Right.
Yep. Then we're trapped in that house with ghosts.
Yep. So that's when that's when we need to play detectives and start putting some pieces together.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So then I guess let's just jump to the point where we put the pieces together and we know that Chastain's up to no good.
Have we put the Are we able to put the pieces together?
Have we arrived at the house with the information that Charlie Hunman had?
Yeah, I think we would, yeah.
Yeah.
So we know he's been married before, but we don't know the nature of... Because he could then just be like, yes, I was married and she died.
We're not dumb boys like him, though, and possibly better actors. So we don't, tell them that we know everything.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Nah, correct.
We keep that pretty close to the chest.
Do we get a chance to talk to Mia and find out what she's learned? Okay, let's say we have.
I think in that circumstance, it'd be easy to just grab Mia and get out of there.
Yeah. Three of us.
Yeah.
And I'm prepared to be put in a cage.
Yeah.
Tom would go distract Chastain by, showing his chest and just be like stab me.
Stab me here. Do whatever you like.
Right.
I'm ready.
He'll get stabbed and we'll get away and freeze in the snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you run away, though, you're going to die out there.
Yeah, that's true.
So we have to kill Chastain.
Ooh, we do have to kill Chastain.
Yeah. That's the only way, isn't it?
Guys, I've got it. I subject myself to Chastain.
Yeah.
And then in the final confrontation in the snow, you'd be like, she's like, the two of you can't beat me. And one of you is like, there are three of us. And she turns around, it's ghost me.
Oh, yes.
In my ghost cage with a knife through my chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My ghost is here to protect you. And then the problem is, though, we don't beat Chastain because then you become preoccupied with killing me as a ghost.
That's true.
Because you're like, no, we don't. No, yeah. It's a ghost.
It plays for this beautiful moment where, there's Tom, the three of us, and then we just scream.
Yeah, yeah.
He winks at us and we try and kill him.
Yeah, yeah. And then Chastain.
We suck him into a vacuum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You basically...
We invent
assume...
that and then we... and then we do that.
Yeah.
We got to... Maybe we... Get her down into the basement level, open one of those vats of bloody clay blood.
Yeah.
And just chuck her in there.
If we can get her in one of those. Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe that's where Tommy Ghost comes in. We can use him to distract her while one of us knocks her into the...
this is a good plan.
Yeah. You as a ghost, you could get stabbed forever.
I could.
Yeah.
Is that my life? Being stabbed forever?
Well, the movie ends with Chastain's ghost playing piano, still in the house,
never
to leave. So there's you just watching adoringly from the side.
I'm in my cage. Can you play Mr. Brightside so I can come out of my cage and I'm doing just fine? I become the Mr. Brightside ghost.
Well, on that note, that is all the scary talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
And I've been Tom.
And if you scary listeners have any comments, would like to say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at scaredyboys or individually. I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone. You're a porridge boy.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.